Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
My favorite kind of show, Fred, when we go through Creation Magazine.
Yeah, volume 37, number 4. In fact, it's the 37th year of this fantastic magazine.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about antibiotic resistance, which is an evolutionist's favorite argument.
Oh, it's the first thing that comes out of their mouth when you say, well, give us evidence that evolution is real.
Antibiotic resistance.
Right off the bat. And Fred, we're just going to slaughter that argument. That argument is falsified. That argument is dead. That argument is irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. But Bob, we've got some big news stories that I think we should cover first.
Well,
a couple
of
things.
Right.
We've had the shootings.
Terrific shootings.
Yes. And a really cool archaeology discovery, plus something else on dinosoft tissue, new paper on,
Okay, so why don't we do the last couple first? Dinosaur soft tissue, a brand new paper just out. And Fred, the exciting thing about this is in the Journal of Proteome Research. That means the journal about proteins. And they're saying that they have now proof, conclusive, of dinosaur blood vessels.
Dinosaur blood vessels.
Yeah.
They didn't say cell-like?
Oh, right. You know what they've been saying for 10 years? They've been saying red blood cell-like structures, blood vessel-like structures. Well, it's about time they just come right out and say hadrosaur blood vessels.
Well, Bob, it is about time.
It's about time. It is about time.
You know, Discover Magazine.
They're not 80 million years old. They're less than 10,000 years old.
Yeah. Discover Magazine, which is no friend to creationists, right?
Yeah.
They said that Schweitzer's discovery, Mary Schweitzer, who did the,
she's a co-author on this paper.
Oh,
not
is she?
Not the lead author, but a co-author.
Okay. That she erased a dangerous line between past and present.
Right.
Is dangerous, is that a scientific term?
It shouldn't be.
We really need to do a show on all these non-scientific terms they use for things like this.
Yes. Well, this paper is so significant that we've reached out, Real Science Radio, our producer, reached out to someone who may be the world's leading expert on fresh fossils, dinosaur soft tissue, and all the things that are supposed to be millions of years old, hundreds of millions of years old, that have original biological material in them. And that is down in Dallas. He's with the Institute for Creation Research, ICR, Henry Morris's group. His name is Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas, and he'll be interviewed next week, Friday on this show, and you'll
Real
be able
Science
to hear
Radio.
That, hear the latest on this paper that came out.
Oh,
walk through it. Yep.
I can't wait for that show. And then you mentioned archaeology.
Yeah, so Hezekiah. Who's Hezekiah?
Well, a king of Judah, so that's in the south. Israel had a civil war, sort of, and they divided north and south. And King Hezekiah was in the south, after the north was decimated by the Assyrians.
Yeah, the north had all those great kings, right?
Oh, they were horrific. Jeroboam.
They were all bad.
Every one of them was as evil as could be. They weren't much to write home about either.
Yeah, exactly.
But Hezekiah, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
But Fred, they found something from Hezekiah. And this is so typical. We've been going through the Bible verse by verse for 20 years, producing these Bible study albums that you could download from our website, kgov.com. And Fred, every book of the Bible, when we're studying it, they make discoveries and they say, oh, look, here's evidence that this book in the Bible is accurate.
Yeah, in your Sunday school, I think you said before the show that you're in Isaiah chapter 38.
We are.
Which starts the story about Hezekiah.
Sunday morning, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, which begins like this. In those days, Hezekiah, it's right in the middle of Hezekiah's story of being sick. He's going to die. And God says, Isaiah,
you're
tell Hezekiah
die.
You're going to die. And then he prays to the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you 15 more years.
So,
in other words, he healed him. So anyway, here we are at Denver Bible Church. We're right in the middle of the story of Hezekiah. And what happens in
the news? 2 days ago, this was reported in Science Daily.
Yeah.
An impression of King Hezekiah's royal seal discovered in excavations in Jerusalem by the Hebrew University of Jerusalem.
Yeah, Hebrew University. And they have their Institute of Archaeology. Fred, this is just huge. So a king would use his seal. So would other wealthy or powerful people.
But a seal, that was a big deal back then.
Oh, a seal was
huge.
This is evidence that the king created this document or authorized this document. So an impression of the king's seal has been unearthed at excavations at the foot of the southern wall of the Temple Mount. Now, we have been there 3 times, Bob and Yurt Live, we've led tours of Israel, Turkey, Greece, Italy, Rome. And Fred, Lord willing, we'll do it again someday. So we were right here, as thousands of other tourists have been, if not millions. And so they find the impression of the seal of King Hezekiah.
This goes back to 700 BCE. You know, they put BCE.
BCE.
But really,
what is that? It should be BC and AD.
Yeah.
Before Christ and Anno Domino, year of the Lord.
Year of the Lord.
Jesus.
Yeah. But BCE is before Common Era. They changed
before
it to Common Era.
That's bogus.
That. It is real bogus.
Because there is no Common Era. They just made that up.
They made it up because they're trying to deny Christ.
Right.
They don't like him.
Fred, I think, now, I don't know, would this qualify as a prediction? I think when an archaeologist writes, when he types BCE, right, before the Common Era,
mm-hmm.
I think that causes him to think about Jesus more than if they just would have stuck with BC. Because everybody says
yeah,
BCE.
That makes, yeah, I bet you're right. In their efforts to try to suppress him, get him out of their minds, they're actually bringing him into their minds
all the
by
more.
Doing this.
All the more,
yeah.
And you could sooner stop the sun from shining than you could erase Jesus Christ from the history of the world.
That's right.
And so there is no common error. That's a lie. And they think about the Lord even more when they try to get rid of him.
Maybe it should be before common error.
Yeah.
Before common error.
That is their common error.
Their common error
is to try to get rid of the Lord. So, Fred, great science news. Then we have the shootings. How devastating.
Yeah, they were. And I remember talking to you that day.
In Colorado and California.
And you were being interviewed by the New York Times.
Oh.
On that story.
On the shooting in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
And we were interrupted by the shooting happening in real time in California.
Yeah, so the reporter had to leave, right?
Had to postpone the interview in order to cover the terrorist attack in California by Muslims. Murdered 14 people, wounded 21 others.
Yeah.
So horrific.
And you shared with me something I think is really huge news is... Yeah. The policeman that was killed in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, what we can do now, there is a nationally newsworthy breaking story being reported right here on Real Science Radio right now that most likely 99% of our audience does not know this information.
Yeah, and 99.99% of the world doesn't know.
Doesn't know, but this is
nationally. And it won't be reported.
This is nationally newsworthy.
Yes.
The media tried to tie us to the murders at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, us being
Christian pro-life movement, specifically the Colorado pro-lifers and the Colorado personhood movement.
Because they call us super extreme because of the, you know,
personhood movement. We've been on the ballot 3 times.
Yep.
Our church is one of the churches leading the battle at Denver Bible Church. And here, Bob and Yurt Live, Real Science Radio. So they try to tie us to the murders at Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
They try to basically say, at that crime scene, your supporter's there at the crime scene. And the murderer is not our supporter. His name is Robert Louis Deere. He's not a pro-life activist.
No.
He's unknown to any pro-life activist anywhere in the country.
That's right.
Obvious. It was obvious immediately, but it's triply obvious now. But it turns out we did have a supporter at the crime scene.
Yeah, we did have a supporter at the crime scene. He signed the personhood amendment.
He did, and he's the hero.
He's a hero.
The police officer,
absolutely.
Officer Garrett Swayze, he signed our personhood petition. Fred, we will embed it in this show summary for Real Science Radio for today's program so that people will be able to see Officer Garrett Swayze's signature. He signed it on September 22nd, 2013.
Yeah, you're holding it up. It's where I can see it. Yeah, you've got the...
We've blurred out all the other people's
names
and addresses.
Yeah.
And so you could see his printed name, his signature, his city and town, zip code, his county, and the date he wrote.
Yeah, and you had a ton of signatures. That was cool that you found that.
Oh, yeah. We've got, 120,000 signatures just for this petition this year that he signed it. And you know what, Fred? We only have like 18% that we have entered. The data entry is difficult.
Yeah.
It's expensive, time consuming. And he was one of the 18%.
Wow.
So we're so thankful that we were able to pull this up. And when his picture hit the news, the president of Personhood USA, Keith Mason, calls me up. He says, Bob, I see Officer Swayze's photo. I know him. We know him. And I'm thinking, when I saw his picture, I just recognized him, but I didn't have the courage to say we know him. So Keith said to his wife, Jennifer, he said, I know him. And Jennifer says, Keith, you don't know everyone in the world. You don't know him, right? You see him on NBC News. He's a hero. You don't know him. Keith said, I know him.
Wow. So he remembered.
We had an event for pastors a year ago. It was an overnight at a beautiful hotel here in Denver. We organized it. Keith Mason, Bob and Your Live, Colorado Right to Life, Denver Bible Church. We invited about 100 pastors and their wives, and they came from all over the state. And Officer Swayze came with his wife, Rachel. So we met them. Keith Mason talked to them for quite a long time. I just met him briefly. He helped us year after year get into his church, Hope Chapel in the Springs, to make sure we got signatures from everyone who would sign the personhood petition.
So he helped. He is the hero. The officer helped us, personhood, get into his church.
Yes. He's a hero. And I think people should realize is that if you're a personhood supporter, you try to save lives at abortion clinics. It's what you do.
Yeah. You try to save lives.
What they do, if you're a godless reporter, you blame massacres on those trying to save lives. It's what you do.
That's, yeah.
That's the difference. Praise God.
All good, evil.
Yeah.
Evil, good.
Yeah. So praise God that the hero trying to save lives at that abortion mill during this crime is a Christian pro-life personhood supporter.
That's right.
And he's a friend.
He was trying to save lives there.
Yeah. Praise God. Okay, so that's the news of the day.
Yeah, wow.
Awesome
news. Lots of news.
Yeah.
So, Bob, antibiotic resistance, this just proves evolution, right?
Well, that's what they say, because we come up with antibiotics like penicillin from mold on bread. And if you're sick and the sickness comes from bacteria, it doesn't affect a virus. But if it comes from bacteria, like let's say sinusitis, you get a prescription, an antibiotic, you take it for the whole regimen, 10 days, whatever, and then it does a pretty good job, usually, of killing the pathogen and helping you recover. But what they found out is these antibiotics, they don't work forever because there are bacteria who end up resistant, and then you think you're going to be able to cure someone, maybe a child, and the bacteria doesn't respond. And they say, see, that's proof. They're evolving the genes they need to be resistant.
And the resistant ones survive, and the other ones that aren't resistant die, but now you have this resistant bacteria that's taking over.
So you have these strains that are more lethal.
Yeah. So they say that's evolution. That's random mistakes and selection. Yeah.
Because since the advent of modern medicine, when we've been giving antibiotics to patients, the bacteria have been evolving all these genes to make them resistant.
That's right. So there's an article in Creation Magazine, and it's about jungle people who have resistance to antibiotics.
So the Amazon jungle down in, for public school teachers tuning in right now, that's in South America. The Amazon jungle, what a great idea. A team of scientists figured, hey, we're going to go and take blood samples from villagers who've had virtually no contact with the outside world.
That's right. An isolated population. Very much so.
Yeah. And then they're going to find out the bacteria in their bloodstream. Is it vulnerable to our antibiotics, or is it antibiotic resistant?
Yeah. And guess what? They found out it was resistant. And Bob, this
Come on, Fred. Yeah. That can't be. They can't be resistant
because they've been isolated.
They've been isolated, and the bacteria there wouldn't have time to evolve in the past decades.
Yep.
So it can't be resistant. Our antibiotics have to wipe out all those bacteria.
That's right. But guess what, Bob?
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't. You know what? This is old news, isn't it? In a sense. I mean,
this is old news.
This is just piling on for us. We've had many examples in the past of
this.
Well,
like mummies.
Yeah.
Like bacteria in caves, bacteria in soil. Fred, this stuff has been going on for so long. And how many times are they going to be able to say, oh, look, we got this bacteria. It's millions of years old, and it has resistance.
It already has a resistance to antibiotics.
I think we should give a couple of the examples of bacteria that is antibiotic resistant. So first of all, Fred, back in the 1990s, they had soils that they said were isolated for tens of thousands of years, and they find it's filled with bacteria with all these antibiotic genes.
Yeah.
So that's back in the 1990s. Then they find in a mummy from the Andes, the Andean mummy, they find that it has loads of antibiotic resistance.
And this Andean mummy is how old?
Well, they say it's as old as 980 AD.
AD. Yeah.
Or CE.
Yeah.
CE. Yeah. Common error. Yeah. Common meaning from when Jesus was born.
That's right. AD. And this was just reported a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
October 22nd.
Journal Plus One.
Yeah.
Public Library of Science. I mean, that's pretty current news. That's more current than this report, which is based on scientists from April 2015. That's in Creation Magazine. So the Andean mummy, that's even newer news.
Yeah.
But Fred, then there's this. Do you remember the bacteria from the cave?
Yeah. The Carlsbad Caverns. Isn't that the cave that has those stalactites that are millions of years old?
Millions of years old.
There's like a, what was it, a light switch that was, that one had grown past?
Oh, yeah.
So it was a light switch, millions of years old too?
Right, right.
And they had
right.
to change all their, you know, they used to tell people, oh, those are millions of years old.
Yeah,
how
Fred,
dumb.
We have probably the best report on the whole World Wide Web of the evidence that Carlsbad Cavern, the knee-jerk reaction by evolutionists to say everything is 100 million years old, tens of millions of years old, millions of years old, and they're scrapping it all at Carlsbad.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, they have found bacteria in Carlsbad Cavern. Now, that cavern is enormous. I've been in there with our family. It's just
it
tremendous.
It is huge. I've been there, but I can't remember it because I was like five.
Yeah, okay. We've been there more recently when they took down the sign that says how old it
yeah.
was and
yep.
how long it took to form. That's gone now. But anyway, the Massachusetts Academy of Sciences, they reported in 2012 that the bacteria that has been isolated for at least 4 million years by, according to their old Earth evolutionary mm-hmm. worldview, they said this bacteria has been isolated for 4 million years. That's before modern medicine.
Yeah.
Yep. I'd say. And here's a quote from Massachusetts Academy of Sciences. Even though the bacteria have never encountered modern medicine, a majority of strains were resistant to antibiotics.
A majority of strains.
Researcher Jerry Wright and his colleagues isolated 93 strains of bacteria, with 70% able to resist three or four antibiotics, and a few strains were resistant to an array of 14 different types of antibiotics, including newer synthetic ones. How's that?
Newer ones. Synthetic.
Newer synthetic ones.
Yeah. Wow.
So what this means is the entire model, the form of their argument has been falsified.
Yeah.
The structure of the
argument. That still
won't
stop them, but man, we've got ammunition to fight back.
It won't
stop
hopefully
them. The listeners will remember, hey, because they won't right. stop them. They'll still say it.
They're going to come out and say, yep. give us some good evidence for evolution. And they're going to say antibiotic resistance.
Yeah.
And, you know, Fred, the first time I heard that argument, before I knew any of this, that antibiotic resistance is there in bacteria that's been isolated from modern medicine, before I knew any of that, here's how I assessed their argument. Darwinism is supposedly very small, imperceptible changes that happen slowly over hundreds or thousands of generations, in typically over millions of years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to evolve a gene that's going to help you survive an antibiotic, that's going to take thousands of years or millions
yeah.
of years.
Yeah.
So what happens is they bring a new antibiotic to some tribe somewhere, and literally within 2 years, they have antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria within 2 years.
Yeah, and evolution can't work that fast.
It simply cannot work
yeah.
that fast.
Well,
and it doesn't matter that bacteria has a quicker life cycle. You factor all that in, it's make-believe. In fact, I say within 2 years, that's not really true, because they'll take petri dishes, and some of the bacteria will survive the very first generation, and that ends up populating this resistant strain.
Yeah. You know, on this article points out at the end, it says even where mutations are involved in resistance, it normally results in breaking something. So
oh, yeah.
it loses information.
That's another kind of resistance. The one kind is the bacteria had plenty of genes enabling it to survive in that environment.
That's right.
That's one kind.
Yep. The other kind is, you know, you can have a mutation. And a lot of times they've shown there's a cost that incurs with it. It's loss of information.
So a bacteria is a three-dimensional organism. And an antibiotic is three-dimensional also, so that when they meet, say in the bloodstream, they have to somehow interact with one another.
Yeah.
And if the bacteria mutates, so it's now broken somehow, let's say it used to have a docking station on it where the antibiotic fit perfectly. And the bacteria was the way it's supposed to be, the way it functions. But it mutates, so it's broken. Well, now all of a sudden the antibiotic comes up and it can't grab on. And so the bacteria survives, even though it's now broken, that cost you were talking about, that reproduction cost.
Yeah.
It's like if you lose all your teeth. Well, now you can't get a toothache. So good for you. You can't get a toothache. You toothless wonder. You lost all your teeth. That is the other kind of bacterial resistance, where it's not evolving new information. It's breaking down.
It's breaking down. It's like mosquitoes that are resistant to DDT. They're easier to swat. You know, they're wimpier, but they survived it. So they're more dangerous because if they're carrying disease.
Yeah. So where evolution needs new information, this resistance, it has the information all along from the beginning, or it's breaking down and losing information.
That's right.
This
There's no example of a gain of information. Yeah, and that's what evolution requires, tons of examples of this.
Oh, right. Everywhere.
So if you ask Richard Dawkins to give one example of a gain of information at the genetic level, he won't be able to answer. He'll just sit there with a blank look on his face.
Come on. That's not true. That's a famous video.
It is.
It's the most awkward video ever filmed. And I feel bad for Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, he just sits there looking up in the air. He's thinking. And you know, again, if evolution is true, he should be able to just start citing off
like 20 example or 30
after example easily.
And then he wrote an explanation for why he didn't answer.
Yeah.
His explanation goes on forever.
It doesn't say anything.
It's a perfect example of obfuscating.
Yeah.
Like, if he's going to give an answer, he should say, well, here are the five things I could have said right off the bat.
Yeah, and he doesn't do that.
No. So
evolution lives on propaganda. This is one of their biggest ones is antibiotic resistance. They live on that whole, like, you know, the 98% similarity between chimps and man. They still, you still see that in the Smithsonian. We could go on and on, but yet here's another one that we're just slamming into the ground again, piling on another example of antibiotic resistance that already existed in the genome.
That's super. Okay. Another article from Creation Magazine from the last issue of 2015. And I love this, Fred. It's has to do with comets and the water on comets. And they say that evolutionists, planetary evolutionists, have a problem because the water on comets is different from the water on the surface of the Earth. And that really undermines their claim that all the water on our oceans came from comets.
These guys, these secular scientists, aren't they on Walt Brown's staff?
They must be. They must be working for Walt Brown.
Did they work for him at that military facility where he ran that thing for the government?
Oh, yeah. That Binet laboratory. You know what, Fred? I think they had, I think the number is 500 scientists.
Oh,
at their Binet Advanced Research Lab for the U.S.
Army. Dr. Walt Brown ran that, a PhD from MIT, by the way.
He was the director of the lab.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He had scores of PhD scientists reporting to him or under him. So, Fred, Comet 67P, just this year, just this fall, they find out that it has oxygen on it. It's not supposed to have any oxygen. Now, this is a little different from this finding, which is also reported in the last year, that the water in our oceans, it doesn't look like it came from comets because it's a different flavor, a different isotope of the elements in the water. But, Fred, the same thing with oxygen. The nebular hypothesis for the atheist explanation of how the solar system formed, comets should not have oxygen. No oxygen. Comet 67P that Europe landed on this year, loaded with oxygen. Not just trace, loaded with oxygen, and it blows their mind. And Fred, it's this awesome additional confirmation of Walt Brown's theory that the comets, asteroids, and meteoroids
came from beneath the surface.
Beneath the surface of the Earth in the subterranean water chamber, when the fountains of the great deep broke forth in the global flood, that came up with such tremendous force that some of it reached escape velocity and left Earth's gravity.
And pummeled the moon.
Pummeled the moon, especially one side, the near side, was pummeled way more severely. The far side is sprinkled compared to the
which
near
makes
side.
Perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense. And you could go to our website and rsr.org/moon and understand why it is. So, Fred, the research in comets, you know, the atheists think that the more they do research, the more evidence they'll have that there is no God. In a way, the fact that they're delusional is helping the creation movement, because discovery after discovery after discovery shows the evidence that God is our creator and that the Bible is the literal history of the world.
Yeah, and that's why they use non-scientific words like dangerous discovery, axis of evil, horrendous differences between chimp and the human Y chromosome.
And everything is shocking.
Shocking.
Jaw-droppingly shocking. I mean, they're shocked. And they always say, we have to go back to the drawing board.
We could do a really, really, really long show on just all these phrases that we've done through the years doing this program.
Yeah, we have done our list of shocked evolutionists.
Yeah, we've done that.
That's a really fun show. If people go to rsr.org and look in the right-hand column, you'll see our list shows, like our list of not-so-old things, our list of genomes that just don't fit, our list of scholars doubting Darwin, and our list of shocked evolutionists. That's one of my favorite ones.
List of evidence against the Big Bang. I mean, lots of cool lists there.
Yeah. List of Big Bang predictions. So, Fred, we're out of time. We've only touched on this Creation magazine. I'd love it if we could do more.
Oh, definitely. I think it's super cool that this particular issue completes 37 years of this magazine.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And so thank you, Fred Williams. For you guys in the audience, it's December. People buy Christmas gifts on our store, Real Science Radio. Go to our website, click on the store, and browse the science department. We have the greatest gifts. Just the greatest videos.
Huge
and books.
Selection. All kinds of great stuff. I bragged about the hydroplate video, but there's so much other stuff,
our
too.
Our global flood video.
Get
so
the
many
plot.
Science videos.
That's a great book.
The plot.
I'm going to get
book,
one. Yeah.
An overview of the
I'm
Bible.
I'm getting one before I go tonight, by the way. My son wants one.
Well, wow, Fred. Yeah. That's so cool. We have Does God Exist, the paperback of my debate with a psychologist atheist, Zakith. So there's so many neat things to purchase at Real Science Radio. Or you can make a donation one time or automatic monthly donation. We really need your help to stay on the air another year.
Yeah, the Does God Exist book has a great ending. The atheist ends up MIA, right?
It's so fun. What a debate. Yeah. High-profile debate. And it was a KO.
The King James only debate will be great once you get that into print.
In a book.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
In the meantime, you can read that debate right now at theologyonline.com. Excellent.
So
slaughtered. Man.
Well, I don't know, but I hope you're right.
Yeah. And I'm not biased, but.
Thanks, Fred. Okay. So that's it. This is Bob Inhart and Fred Williams. May God bless you. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.